Hey everyone, great show this morning. We discuss some of the wins that have come up in the NFT space recently, including some up-and-coming projects that we have some interest in, like Gossamer Seed and Moonrunners. We also talk about Pixel Vault and the future of what that ecosystem looks like, an in-depth chat about Doodles as well. Nick sells a Mutant Ape live on the show, and we also talk to some interesting people about broader NFT market concepts. As usual, this show is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code TheNifty on your FTX mobile app. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the NFT Morning Show. Wednesday, we're cooking. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. EST. We talk all things NFT market, what's going on with price action, what's going up, what's going down, and what are the stories of the NFT space. I'm Pio. I'm here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, Signal, Captain Kicks, Easy Eats Bodega, and we got some dope-ass speakers, Wappy and Spencer, already on stage. Nifty Nick, what's going on?
Yo, picture me finishing the song. There was still a missing verse from that track that you were playing. What happened there? We just abandoned it at the end.
It wasn't a Tupac verse though. It was like one of his crew members, which are great.
I mean, I feel like, but that's like you need the entirety. Like you need to round it out with the various characters that are participating in that track. Like, picture me actually finishing a track, you know? That's what. What? Isn't that the end? We don't need to play the whole thing. Picture me rolling around. I'm ready for him. You know, some motherfuckers out there, I just could not forget. I was ready. Oh. Or is this just the end of the song? Can you niggas see me from there? Maybe the ass. End. Picture me rolling, baby. Yeah. All the niggas up in them sale blocks. I think we're good. Yeah. That's the end of the song.
You were right. Picture
me rolling. You needed to hear him saying picture me rolling another 16 times. I forgot the DA. Yeah, that bitch had a lot to talk about before. And some shout outs. Can the host see me from here? To law enforcement people who wronged him over the years.
Well, look, I'll be the first person to admit when I'm wrong. I was hella wrong cutting that short. I thought that there was going to be another verse by
I was out with my camera picturing Tupac rolling. That's what was going on.
I'm sure that you were. Well, now that we got that out of the way, what else is going on, Nifty Dick?
I was at a Thank You X.
Very nice.
Had a thing last night. I went to that. It was all right. I was like, one day I'm gonna have that painting right there on my wall. And he was like, no, you're not.
One of his like, paintings.
He was like, my wife wants that one. And I was like, okay. Well, you know, a boy can dream.
He cut you down, man. But I mean, look. Having a physical Thank You X is that's about as dope as it gets. Like I can picture like a big ass Thank You X on one of your walls. That's going to be a cult.
Well, there's just no way that's happening. I mean, at the price that I was like, look, I can't put that much into an illiquid asset, but all of his pieces are well developed. This one was a car that he had gotten that was smashed. And then he turned that into a physical structure. He painted it, collapsed it, touched it up, and then there was a piece of the video of it being crushed, which was pretty cool. There were a couple of associated things. Unfortunately, the physical wasn't there. It's in London. But lifestyle of a fine artist, I guess. Fine NFT artist, I guess.
You're a fine artist.
Come on. Hey, also, I upgraded. I'm now consuming gallons of ice cream. So
are you just like trying to self-destruct?
I didn't need a gallon of ice cream. That didn't happen. I learned my lesson. It's going to be a few months maybe a couple months before I forget the fact that eating a whole pint of chocolate right before bed is a bad look.
Well, actually, you know, it was actually pretty useful for me because my daughter, I had to explain to her what heartburn was, and I actually explained it in terms of NFT Nick, and she understood afterwards.
What did you
say to her?
Well, she grabbed some Tums and she was like, "Baby medicine." I'm like, no. Like, you only eat that medicine if you have heartburn. She's like, "Heartburn? What's that?" And I'm like, "Heartburn is like when NFT Nick eats a whole gallon of ice cream and then his tummy really, really hurts and his tummy feels like it burns and he's saying, yeah, owie, owie, owie in bed all night." She said, "Oh, okay. No baby need heartburn."
Okay. Well, then that was a good, yeah, I mean, sounds like she fully understands.
I think if you don't make it NFTs, you can just start writing children's books, you know, like, you know, and I think you got a real blossoming career there. Just the lessons of Nick, and you can use your Bored Ape as the main character.
Oh, I see. Put the ape in the book and that's my character. I like that. I thought you were going to use the ape as an example, because I feel like at some point it will inevitably be used as an example where they're like, remember when long ago Nick bought an ape. The ape was not super expensive, but expensive to most people of a few hundred dollars. The ape once eventually became worth lots and lots of money. Now it's not worth that much.
That's a hell of a story.
He feels like a loser. Like that's where you want this market to be. I feel like
Nick now feels down. Nick needs a hug. Can you help Nick feel better?
What an electric start we're off to here. Nick,
welcome to the kids kids morning show. We'll be telling kids books through this or kids storylines through this bear market. Easy's not on stage, but he is. There he is. You're gonna spill the beans of what you were texting me last night and start spreading rumors so that we can crash the price of ETH further?
I'm down. I'm totally down. Yeah, it's all going to shit. Well, a tweet today went out that Three Arrows Capital is going under. The rumor right now is that KuCoin is on this short list for potentially more trusted exchanges. I sent a few people a message that I got from somebody I really trust in the space. They gave me the Luna news 3 or 4 days early when UST was still trading at 97 cents. They said, if you are on an exchange that's not FTX, Kraken, Coinbase, Binance, or Gemini, consider moving off of them. There's a lot of talk right now about potential liquidations in a variety of different exchanges, especially ones that people have felt a little bit more trusted in. We've also seen messages across Twitter where people are calling for more negative news this week and saying that it's only going to get worse. OXB1 had a tweet basically alluding to that as well. So I shot Nick a message. I don't really want to fearmonger in the Discord, but now here we are in front of 1,100 people, basically fearmongering. So thanks, Nick. Overall, though, yeah, I mean, the market's still shit, and I think, like, all those liquidation rumors the last 7 to 10 days were just that, rumors, and we haven't actually seen what's going to happen when one of these big players falls. So a lot of people had been talking to me about it and kind of just sharing their thoughts, and one of my friends who I trust a lot in the space was pretty adamant that they felt I should move my funds off of all the degen exchanges I find myself leverage trading on.
Is this like the text message I got when COVID started and they were like, the military is coming in and shutting down New York and closing the bridges?
Well, I regret sharing this one with you now since you just aired it out. normally I keep it to a close circle of people that I know are just like, oh, hey, thanks for the advice, I'll take it. But now you're here like, man, let's just fuck the price of ETH.
Well, easy. I don't know if you followed this specific story, but the bear market is certainly entertaining. There's a crypto exchange called CoinFlex, and CoinFlex was basically like, yeah, we have one of our investors, like, we basically gave him an uncollateralized $47 million loan because he was like, I'm good for it. And they're like, okay, he's good for it, so here's your cash, dude.
Bro, that's not the only one. Like, there's multiple exchanges who have done that for board members, for like whales, like anyone who has over $1 million in an account. They'll just give a non-backed leverage trade that, like, they just hope doesn't get liquidated.
Yeah, and the alleged name of the person, the alleged name is Roger Ver. He's like a super early crypto investor, and he's the chief executive of Bitcoin.com. and they literally said like it was him. And I'm not even joking. They launched a coin to represent like the money that he owes them so that they can get money so that they don't default on customer assets. And then he tweeted like that these rumors are untrue, but like the tweet format was so bad because he like literally had to have copy pasted it from his lawyers, but like the formatting's all off. And so like everyone's making fun of it. It's just it's the craziest thing in the world. This like that this crypto exchange is like, yo, you owe us $47 million. He's like, nah, it ain't me, man. And then they're like, no. They're like, it's 100% you. You owe us $47 million. It's absolutely insane.
The other thing too is like a lot of these rumors around liquidations. So I've talked to a few exchanges recently, and like a few friends at exchanges behind closed doors, and what they've been saying is that one of the reasons that the default itself is taking longer than you think, like it's like why haven't like if the rumor is true and then why hasn't it happened, is because a lot of the entities that are defaulting are just like not returning the calls from the exchanges they borrowed from.
They're also looking to sell it too. Like a lot of them are looking to offload any of the items and collateral that they have so that they can attempt to at least exit with something. It's not so much of like they just go bankrupt today and tomorrow we all hear about it. Like this is, it's still somewhat decentralized. So these motherfuckers are still trying to just get anything that they can for their bags and what's left of them. But we'll see. I think there's still a lot more downside risk.
Ben, you have your hand raised. Anything to add here?
Yeah, GM. I saw an article in Forbes talking about SBF saying that some crypto exchanges are already secretly insolvent, and there's others that are going to be going under soon. They just didn't mention which ones yet.
Well, shit. Well,
there we go. That Forbes magazine is Easy's source here.
Well, Three Arrows Capital just got hit by British Virgin Isles in their court-ordered liquidation of Three Arrows Capital. So that's fun.
But I mean, Three Arrows is already a known thing at this point. Like,
that was a known one, but this is a good example. We heard about this last week, about them going under. It was fairly known, and now today is when we're starting to see, okay, they're getting liquidated. So it's like there is a runway for this stuff to happen.
I think the funniest thing is what Spencer said, that it's like taking longer than it should because people are literally just like ghosting people, like ex-lovers. Like, nah, I'm not picking up the shit. Like, if I just ignore this problem and ETH maybe also like 2x's in 24 hours, I'm going to be okay. So I'm just going to ghost this.
If you're calling someone for a couple weeks and they're not picking up still when they used to pick up all the time, I feel like you might as well just call that bad debt. That said, you're trying to collect a fraction of it. The idea of them printing a coin to represent Roger Ver's debt that someone else could buy is
already
absolutely hilarious.
Debt.
What? Yeah.
Spencer said already defaulted on debt. Roger Ver is already a laughing stock in the Bitcoin community because, if I recall correctly, he is partially responsible or the majority of his responsibility was in Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV, the two forks of Bitcoin that were supposed to, you know, make Bitcoin better or something, even though they're just full-blown shit coins. So this is just adding to his legend of being a laughingstock in the Bitcoin community.
He took that $47 million in like longed Bitcoin Cash. So that's the funniest part about it, is he got whacked on that.
Yeah, the rumor is he had like 20,000 Bitcoin at one point or something, and now he's like under like 5k left, which like isn't you know life ending for people. That's still a ton of money, but coming from where he was, people were saying that he could have just literally done nothing and been set for like 100 lifetimes.
Yeah, exactly. That's, dude, that is the nail on the head. Is like, yeah, you could have just done nothing, man. You had 20,000 bitcoins, just chill out. And instead he's like, nah, check it out, I got Bitcoin Cash, this is gonna be the big thing. Kicks.
Yeah, I think we should start reading more like Greek fables to these people, you know, because I don't think enough of these people. I really embody the Icarus story. Your boy ain't going close to the sun, dude. I'm staying like 30 feet off the ground for my whole life. I ain't flying up there. But a lot of these people obviously forgot that story. I mean, that's why that story's still around. Just saying.
It's so crazy, man. These people who have the world by the balls and can literally just chill or like invest instead of just going hardcore with leverage. Like if 3AC didn't need leverage, they were already on top of the game. And now we see like this thing with the Roger Ver one where CoinFlex, they're selling the token, but they're offering 20% APY. Like it's like Luna 2 all over again. Like people just don't fucking learn.
It's pretty crazy. And then, yeah, I mean, when you think about all the shit going down, one thing that comes to mind that actually ended up working out is Axie Infinity actually opened their bridge yesterday. So I know it doesn't feel like big news now because we don't really talk about play to earn gaming and stuff, but people forget they literally got hacked by North Korea to the tune of $600 million. Like they basically just had a janky bridge for their chain, the Ronin chain, and they got hacked, lost $600 million worth of Ethereum. And because Ethereum crashed, because that hack happened when Ethereum was like $3,100, now the bridge is open. And you got to think it's because Ethereum's only like $1,100 or however much Ethereum costs right now. And that softened the blow a little bit. They were able to actually replace the funds, I guess. I had already gotten my money out a couple weeks back or maybe a month back. If people remember when I was like routing it through somebody in the Philippines because they were opening the bridge for people that had access to Binance, but now it's just globally open, allegedly. And that's pretty interesting. That's like kind of an example of a big mistake, and it actually worked out for them to just not pick up the phone for a month or something like that because ETH crashed, you know? And I do totally think that what Kix was saying about like just ignoring the calls right now and hoping that ETH pumps to kind of soften the blow, that's totally on the table, but I don't think that reality is going to happen. Throwing to Signal, we've had a lot of chatter here before the weather report, but how are you doing? When's the last time you knocked down a pint of ice cream to the dome?
Oh, pint of ice cream? Nah, that's not really my thing. I'm more of a caffeine girl.
Oh.
I had the most bizarre morning today. It's beautiful skies where I am. I go out, I get my coffee, I'm listening to music, and there's a guy on a scooter, an electric scooter, like on my heels, and it's the sidewalk. He should be on the road. And I'm like doing my thing. So I do my London walk and I'm walking faster to get away from him. And he's just coming like on my ass with the scooter. He then starts beeping at me. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I have the right to be on the sidewalk. And then basically I end up having this huge argument with this guy. And then lo and behold, I'm getting punked and I'm being filmed. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening today?
What?
Anyway, yeah. I got like,
wait, what are you being, like, who are you being filmed by?
It was just like this French comedian YouTuber guy. I don't know his name. Like, I didn't know who he was. So I had to like look him up. But yeah, I got punked this morning, which I thought was pretty cool. So that brings me this much closer to getting a punk in the future. Now I'm driving that karma. Anyway,
so oh yeah.
On to the weather. Wednesday today, overnight OpenSea volume came in at 17 million. So we're just kicking in this range. It's like 15 to 20 million range this week. On the blue chips, we've got apes at 90, mutants at 18, punks at 66. So not much change there. Moonbirds is still at 20 ETH, while Doodles hitting 13 and CloneX is up to almost 12. Overnight, apes are leading the NFT sales volume. They had the highest sales, whilst other DEET has pulled back to 2.7 ETH, so they're not holding that 3 ETH wall. CloneX pumped after Artifact tweeted an emoji of a road, a map, and a satellite dish. Looks like we have incoming roadmap being broadcast soon. The unique ownership on that collection is still at almost 50%, and the floor is edging towards 12, so things are looking bright for CloneX. Chromie Squiggles will be getting more attention this year. They are featured on the new Adidas football jersey for the English club Crawley. They were recently bought by the Web3 group Wagme United, and that includes investors G-Money, G-Funk, and Gary V. If you've got a G in your name, I think you can be in that group. Floor on Squiggles is 9 ETH. It will be interesting to see where that is at the end of the year. And ENS domains are back in vogue. Last night, Portal were all over three-digit Chinese numbers. If you don't think money can be printed in these markets, ask Portal for ersun.eth. And onto the crypto markets, BTC is back at 20K, ETH is pulling back at 1,145. And overall markets, they might be quieter on the trading side of things, but the wins this week appear to be going to the people really in the dirt, those hunter-gatherers that are looking for a good deal and a great flip. So for now, the 24-hour forecast is steady wins. Back to you, folks.
Fantastic weather report signal. I noticed in the top 10 here, Moonrunners has emerged as the highest volume project on OpenSea in the past 24 hours. However, the floor price has come down from yesterday. Floor price on other DEET also came down. So it'll be interesting to see if that other DEET pump continue or comes back going into the news event. And then Gossamer Seed, which I know that Kix had bought into, pulled back a little bit, but it's still kicking around as a top 25 project. We got Wappy with his hand raised. What's going on, Wappy?
I was going to say, you're seeing Gossamer volume this morning because they just tweeted something 25 minutes ago. But there's been probably like 50 sales within the past 20, 30 minutes. So I don't know what's going on there. But that floor went up and down. It's still at like 0.4 now. I just saw that earlier and wanted to point that out. But I guess the other thing I wanted to talk about is I made a move last night and I am no longer a doodle holder.
Whoa, Wappy, you sold your doodle. Did you have a duplicopter too?
I sold the duplicator. Like,
oh, duplicator, sorry.
Or whatever, if it's a copter. Or a cater, it doesn't matter. I sold that when you could redeem it because that was just like free money. So I take the free money when I can get it. You know how I am.
Nice. So what prompted you to sell the doodle?
So here's my our thing show. On doodles is I what'd you say, Nick?
I said our show.
Here was my thing on doodles. I think when you look at doodles as a brand, it's a very clean brand and I'm very bullish on the brand. But for me, I was a little cloudy on kind of what's coming next and how it really benefits OG holders. I'm sure there's probably going to be some benefit to OG holders, but my view was I'd rather kind of take the cash that I could get out of the doodle right now and not go through the risk of whatever's about to happen with Doodles 2 and the Genesis box auction tonight and duplicators. And I kind of get what I think is happening, but I'm not really 100% sure on it. So for me, it was a risk. And I said, bullish on the brand, but I'm not sure what kind of like the OG asset's going to do for me. The math that I was kind of doing on being able to lease out some of my special traits, I just didn't see like a lot of potential revenue coming in from that route. So I said, I think it's time to exit. And I think what I'll do is when Doodles 2 comes out, I'll probably rejoin the system there and I'll pay a much smaller amount to be a part of that ecosystem. And I'll pay, you know, a slightly higher amount to customize the shit out of my Doodle 2 to make it look exactly the way I want. I might even go find some of the traits from my old Doodle to put it on it. But for me, it was about realizing a large amount of USD and then, you know, being able to come back into the system and a second-tier asset for probably less than $1,000.
Very nice. And Ben, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Pio, have you been calling it doodle copter, but not on purpose?
I think I don't know how many times I called it duplicopter. We'll have
like
to go
every
back
time
to
you said it.
Duplicopter.
Like every time you've
times.
Ever said it, yeah.
That's because oops. Captain Kix, during his weather report that one day, when it was the market was imploding, was like, duplicopters are out here, but no one wants to buy them. No one seems to really give a shit. The market's just crashing.
Well, maybe he incepted duplicopter into my vocabulary.
That's
but now
so
it's
funny.
It makes sense that it's duplicator. That makes a lot of sense because you can duplicate the trades. But yeah, good catch. Node, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning. I'm back and I feel like things just went from bad to worse. I like how, you know, if we were to zoom out, if we were to look back 6 months and if you were to tell us the news of everything that has transpired in 2022, I'm pretty sure this would be worse than the worst case scenario. But here we are and we're totally happy. So this is great. I did want to comment on the doodles thing. This brings me to the point of, PFPs in general. Like, I think we're reaching that point where we're all starting to wonder, okay, what is the, what, how much is this utility worth? Like brass tacks. And we're starting to, like, I think people are starting to move away a little bit from thinking about, like the status, I think is always the most important. In reality, like that's to me the identity piece and how people identify with their asset, like that seems to drive the most value in kind of an ephemeral way. But the like actual utility of doodles and of everything else, I think it's starting to be put into question, right? And I just think it's interesting because I've had the same thoughts as Wappy, but I don't know where else I would rather put my ETH, right? So I guess that's my question to you, Wappy. Do you have other places you'd rather put it, or do you just want the USD, that sweet cash?
I mean, right now it's sitting in USD because I'm expecting, I think most people are expecting ETH to drop a little bit. And I don't know how low I think it's going to go, but I think it potentially tries to dip into the three digits again, and we'll see how much support or resistance is there and if it goes lower or not. But I'm trying to sit in a lot of stables right now because what I want to end up doing is get back into ETH on that lower move. And then if I'm going to be buying NFTs, the thing that I'm going to be kind of looking at the most is probably an ape, a punk, a moonbird, or a mutant. And it'll just depend on kind of what, the ape, I don't think you need the ape. I think the ape is kind of like a vanity piece, because I think if you want in that ecosystem, as far as what I saw at Ape Fest, the mutants didn't really get treated too much differently than the actual apes.
I was talking shit to all the mutants. I was like, y'all are some peasants.
So, okay, that's...
Yeah,
that's,
Nick, that's Nick doesn't talk to me because I'm just a mutant. He just says hi and wanders on his way. Like, that's it. So,
oh, you're not an ape? Sorry.
Nope. So, I mean, I guess to answer your question, no, to sit in stables and then try to re-enter ETH where I can... Like, if I sold the doodle for $30,000 last night, call it like 25, 27 ETH or something. The idea would be move that into cash, and then ETH dips to like 900. Now that like 28 ETH turns into like 36 ETH or whatever the math is on that. So that's what I'm trying to do, because there are some things that I want longer term, but I'm trying to see what happens and how NFTs are going to react if we actually move lower again. Because I don't know. I don't know how far off we are from a true bottom or not.
I mean, we could be not too far off, right? I mean, I one thing that I was listening to on a podcast was people were talking about indicators from Bitcoin miners, being a factor in predicting the bottom. So that's something to definitely take a look at. I want to dig more into that and kind of figure out what people are thinking there. Wap, you just raised your hand again.
That shit is pseudoscience.
Yeah, speaking last time, I wanted to say this, but I forgot it as soon as I started talking. But, the reason I had been very bullish on the Doodles team is because they come from Dapper, and they were one of the few things to spawn out of Dapper that hadn't gone for a large supply of NFTs yet. Because you look at like Top Shot and Kitties and some of the other things that have come out.
Doesn't that worry you? Like
large supply.
Doesn't that worry you, like potentially having to go to like Flow or another chain? Like, well, that's what I was saying,
is now you've got Poopy kind of switching tunes and going from, we're not diluting, we're something along those lines, to now Doodles 2 is expanding to what they want to be millions of people. And I don't know if you're going to have like a freely trading NFT like you have on the Doodle 2, but they're talking about now onboarding millions of people. And
that's my concern.
It just gives me like a
Flow,
Top Shot feel.
And Instagram integration. So like if they do an Instagram integration, which is supposedly going to be leading with Flow, that's going to be interesting to me because that opens up countless new people to get into the ecosystem. But like coming from Top Shot, that shit was great at first, and then I've never seen something implode so aggressively.
Well, you also got to realize too, like Instagram integrations are kind of fickle. Like Instagram's biggest flop of a product was the in Instagram like shopping stuff. Like people just don't do it as much. So I don't know why we think that if selling e-commerce in Instagram wasn't that successful, that selling NFTs and Instagram is some sort of bull case.
Well, I don't know if it's selling them so much. Like, I look at it more like what Twitter Blue does, like a verified confirmation of it. But if, like, there's got to be more utility to a chain on a social media platform than just buying and selling. Like, Twitter Blue, I guess, is trying with these hexagon PFPs, but I mean, looking at the stage now, I don't see a single one. So clearly, there's not a lot of interest there. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, to Wappy's point too, like they come from Dapper. So like there's clearly an understanding of Flow, but I just hope that they don't do the same kind of thing that Top Shot did and just absolutely dilute the hell out of the ecosystem. But it sounds like they might. Like there's a lot of talk of, just like Wappy said, millions of new Doodle holders. And this Duplicopter cater thing is supposedly able to use previous traits to create multiple of whatever the secondary collection is. So, like, I know it's still a lot of speculation, but, like, my massive concern is, like, adding a ton to the ecosystem is bad for the primary collection.
In my opinion, real quick, and I'll throw it to you, Spencer. In my opinion, Instagram incorporating NFT technology is long-term bullish, but not really like short-term bullish at all. I just view it as an opportunity to get NFTs in front of like the masses, because we have to admit, like, even though we're all on Twitter and our followings are on Twitter, Instagram's the mainstream social platform. Like, when musicians and people that are, you know, in the entertainment industry post updates and stuff, that goes on Instagram. Obviously, yes, there is a Twitter presence too, but I think by the numbers, people would tell you that Instagram is the number one social media platform, or at least it's above Twitter. And so I view that as a long-term bullish case. When it comes to like the masses with Doodles, I think I said this on the show yesterday, I think that Poopy will probably push to do something like learn from the mistakes of Top Shot and learn from the mistakes of these other entities to get people in the mix and onboard people that are not in NFTs already. And I think the idea would be that the Doodles themselves, the original collection, is the kind of holy grail of the ecosystem. But that, again, that has to play out really long term. Spencer, what's going on?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's like interesting to me that a trend I've noticed is once these companies become venture-backed, they tend to be more dilutive with their output. So, for example, like Pixel Vault venture-backed, you saw like even Cool Cats post their venture round, did Cool Pets to generate revenue. And I think part of this is that like the venture capitalists in the space are seeing these companies as revenue-generating entities from secondary drops. And so they're pushing them to continue to generate revenue like they were sort of an e-commerce business that perpetually sells new items, right? And so I think my read on Doodles and sort of the change in tone has everything to do with the venture round. It's the VCs that come in, say, okay, you guys have generated this amount of revenue. Especially recently, we haven't seen much revenue be generated off of secondary transaction fees. And so the only way, and there isn't like even if Doodles had all the liquidity in the space going on in secondary transactions, like maybe they can't generate enough revenue to do what they want to do. But if you do something like, okay, have everyone at the activation go spend $125 on a box, or as the Cool Cats did, have everyone at the activation go and buy Little Chugs plushies, right? Like, this is a way to generate revenue, and revenue generation, like the venture industry is all multiples on revenue is how valuations are made. And so I suspect that this shift has everything to do with the venture round.
And Spencer, real quick, before we throw to the next speaker, do you think that that's a problem for NFT projects? And that's something that we're going to see happening over and over again, and then eventually there has to be a change? Or do you think that that's just the way things are going to go and they'll make it work?
I think it's an interesting part. I don't know where it falls yet. Like, we think of ourselves in the NFT space as pseudo investors in these projects, but then there are really investors in these projects who are owning the private equity. And it's just not obvious to me that there's incentive alignment between those two groups. Like, I think the private equity owners would want a project to dilute further and further as sales, and they don't really care about the price of the underlying asset, except in that it helps them sell the new assets. And then I think that, like, it, like, for example, I prefer the way that Cool Cats did it, where their additional revenue from the community was in the form of selling physical items such as plushies. Maybe they will shift to also doing, you know, like pets is one that was like not plushies, right? But they're like, I think like Pixel Vault is the greatest example of one where they went way too far down this rabbit. Like, they're about to sell Punk's Comics 3. And I don't know where they think all that money is coming from, people who are going to buy into their already incredibly diluted ecosystem, right? Like, that's where I'm like, okay, this is them trying to revenue generate at the expense of the community, versus others where it's like, okay, the plushies, they can sell as many plushies as they want, and I really don't care as a holder. As a matter of fact, the more plushies they sell, the more bullish I am as a holder of Cool Cats.
Yeah, it means that there's actual, you know, value in like products that they sell. And I love how we're just doing Beanie Babies all over again at that point. That's hilarious.
Well, you saw that Azuki released Beans Babies. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see that. So wow.
I'm sitting with a couple of them right now, of the Beans Babies. So we really came full circle in the cycle.
That's what's hilarious.
Who's going to drop the tulip plushie? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. The pogs. Node, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, on the one hand, the Doodles is starting to make me think a little bit of what Pixelvault did, right? On the other, I suppose the one bull case is that, like, when it comes to IP, right? Like, if you look at Disney or whatever, it's all generated, like, the value of all the merch and all the characters, right? Like, it's those stories that are developed. Like, they come out with a movie, and then all of a sudden people fall in love with that character, and then you can, you know, you can start milking that IP for generations to come, right? And so that is the one aspect that does, you know, maybe could be an argument in favor for the bull case for Doodles, is that if they're able to generate, you know, if the record label and if whatever animation that they put together, and I know this is kind of similar to what all the other projects talk about, but this one actually I feel like is going to execute on it. So if they're able to do that and they build out that like, you know, to where people actually like these characters, right, and they begin to love the brand, then I can see, you know, the value of the core assets becoming more valuable, because there's that much more awareness, and they've reached out to the mainstream, and it kind of captures that moment. So I do kind of think that might be a positive there, right? If they're able to really capitalize on that, which then that's what really makes the IP truly valuable. So just some food for thought.
Yeah, I mean, great point. Ego.pcc.eth, for real. What's going on?
Hey guys. I'm listening to this convo, and it's reminded me. So I agree with all that both just you and Spencer just recently said. Like, I know the conversation about dilution is on everybody's minds, and it's a really fascinating one, because the other day I was talking about how I'm bullish long term on Doodles for all the reasons that we've sort of said, and I do feel that way, but I was only skating on the surface. So I will agree, like, there's definitely the potential for like an inverse relationship between like the brand succeeding and selling to millions, but also the potential fear of like what value is going to remain for like Genesis quote unquote token holders. And that's the big rub ultimately, right? Is like, you know, on the one hand, if you consider if it's a fashion brand or like a major existing corporation, like a Coca-Cola or a Nike or something, like if you own stock in, use Tesla as an example. If you own stock in Tesla, you don't have to own every Tesla that's been, you know, made and distributed across, you know, the United States to feel like you're not underexposed. Like if the big question is like, are founders going to know and understand what they need to do to ensure that the value remains held for the people who are the existing holders, whether it's the token, the 10K collection or a coin or whatever, or as they get bigger, are they going to get pulled into you know, Web2 practices, like feeling like they have to go public as a corporation and actually have traditional stock models, and then everybody's going to be left in the lurch. So I think it's just, there's definitely an inverse relationship between like millions and millions of their product being sold and hold, like making sure that the people that own the existing Doodles, for instance, are seeing a return on that investment. But it does feel like it's kind of like owning a stock versus owning the product. And if you own the stock and the company is doing well, you have to assume that you're going to benefit from that. But one other quick thing I would say is, you know, I'm not a Doodles holder, sadly, but I have, because I kind of began my journey in on Top Shot, I have like an affinity towards certain flow projects, and I got in early and was playing around. Like, I'm one of the early kind of alien alpha users on Genie, for instance, on the Genie platform. And I've messed around with Flowvatar as well, which I know we don't talk often about flow projects on the show, but I think it's really fascinating. Like, my first thought when I heard about Doodles and their plans, and especially the rumor, whether it's true or not, about it going to Flow, my first thought was like, damn, like Flowvatar are in big trouble, which is unfortunate because they're a really, really innovative and cool project that in a lot of ways it feels like Doodle is just like, they're like, thank you, we'll take that, and we're just going to carpet bomb your aspirations and just be you now because we're bigger. And I don't know that that's going to necessarily be the case. It is worth noting that as impressive from a Web3 standpoint as the Doodles team are, and they're really excellent, and they've executed tremendously well, with the exception of, you know, not enough umbrellas, they you know, Flovitar is a project that's further down the road in terms of their tech and their plans. And they also, speaking of Disney, they have Bob Iger on their board, who's a former chairman of Disney and one of the most celebrated Fortune 500 CEOs in living memory. So it's really interesting. Like, there's a lot of competition that's now beginning in this kind of like wearables, kind of mass appeal sort of ecosystem. And it might not be as easy as Doodle thinks to sort of maybe just like steamroll over the competition. I'm really curious to see how that kind of works itself out.
Yeah, we got to see how it works out over time. You got to try, though. Go ahead, Nick.
You know what's crazy? When you go to the Flovitar website, there's this literal doodle-looking skeleton is one of the examples on there, which is pretty ridiculous.
Interesting.
I never checked it out, but I'm feeling sketchy about some of my bags right now. I'm going to be completely honest about my current position. I'm feeling pretty good about my position in the Ponzi scheme. Feeling a little overexposed at the moment. I'm going to be completely honest about this. And I may readjust my portfolio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
But shout out all to my peasant mutants. So here's a crazy thought. I went and looked at my position on my mutants that I had bought during the drop. What gain percentage would you say that I have on, for example, I bought an M2 mutant or I quote-unquote sniped it off the secondary back in the drop 10 months ago. What percentage gain would you say that I have right now on that purchase?
5%?
Yeah, basically.
I'd say you're down.
No, it's like...
After fees, right?
Well, yeah, after fees, yeah. I'm basically break-even. It's flat. So after 10 months, I'm flat on the mutants. I have two mutants, which is... probably one too many. I'm not going to say all the other ones that I want to sell. The currency, which had pumped up to like $11,000, is now selling down at like $7,500. That could drop lower, but I think that entire move is against burning it and people getting a physical. We had said before, I think that one is going to go under as well. And if you're playing our bingo in our Discord, I just mentioned currency, so there you go. but yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable at the moment because the biggest problem that we've discussed is that people are actually delivering things, which is
big problem.
It's a problem. It's like it's no longer hopes and dreams and these big pictures of the wild potential that exists. Instead, as we move deeper into a bear market, instead people suddenly start getting practical and they say, huh, this is $20,000. Like what else could I do with that? And that's a significant amount. So I don't know. I'm sort of now looking at some of these things with a little more skepticism. I'm back to my early days of holding them and saying, "This looked cool when it was worth a lot."
Yeah, the bear market will sober you up big time. We're gonna keep the conversation going, ladies and gentlemen. In case you're wondering, this is the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
Pia, before you mention it. You know what we have in common with Larry David?
With, we're both sponsored by FTX.
Tom Brady. Wow, you skipped ahead.
Tom Brady.
I was going to say Tom Brady, Mr. Wonderful, all these other incredible
Larry
people.
David.
Just the list goes on. NFT Nick, P.O.
Us. Larry David, Tom Brady, Stephen Curry, us.
Us.
All sponsored by
same
FTX.
Same.
Clearly, FTX has the eye for talent, even though we ask over and over again if Sam Bankman-Fried will come on our show for an interview because he goes on everybody's podcast and they just keep telling us no.
The answer is just no.
Quite frankly, I'm just flat out offended. But it's all good because we love FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. Sam Bankman-Fried is out there you know, throwing his weight around, making moves, buying 7% of Robinhood, and just clearly emerging as the most solvent motherfucker in the crypto exchange game compared to these insolvent ass bitches. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, this show, check
yo,
out.
FTX, not an insolvent ass bitch.
Yeah, like, yo, what up, Three Arrows Capital? Where's your money at? Sorry, Sam Bankman-Fried's about to buy your ass, okay? How's that?
But
FTX,
you don't
want to
buy
pitch?
Those bags. You don't want that. You instead, you want to buy Robinhood, which turned out to be fake. But let's get that rumor started again.
Yeah, we're bringing it back. Sam Bankman-Fried's out here playing the market like a motherfucking piano.
He's buying.
You already know, baby.
Like Beethoven on the piano.
All right, Sam Beethoven-Fried out here. I'm just running with this ridiculous. Yo, FTX, if you hear this pitch, it was a joke, all right? Please still give us money. Anyway, back
speaking
to the
of which, I feel like we just got the last check from them, so we should definitely set up a call and not utilize this show as the example of the quality sponsorship potential that we've been delivering.
That's for sure. So we got journalist on stage, also known as Skid Row Crypto. Don't believe you've been on the show before. You were nominated for best written coverage of NFTs at the first annual NFT Awards. You're also a photographer, filmmaker, and an executive editor of
Journalist Skid Row Crypto.
I mean, Skid Row Crypto, that's a great fucking name.
Writing for Bloomberg.
what is going on?
Good morning. I want to say, firstly, you know, I've been, I feel like a supporter of this show because I've been listening in quietly for a long time. Sometimes I get some alpha, sometimes I get a story. It's always awesome to hear the banter and, you know, just the witty exchange between you guys, as well as the useful information that does pass through here. So I just want to firstly say, you know, thanks for holding this, keeping it going, being consistent, being persistent, and who cares if people don't want to go on the show? You're building value that at some point they're going to be begging you to come on, and then it'll be up to you to decide if they get to be featured or not.
Yeah, who cares? You know, and yeah. Fuck them.
Yeah. So, like,
you know, although shout out to our sponsor, you know, SBF is always welcome. Yeah. You know?
When SBF tries to come on the show in a few months, I'm going to be like, you know what? Nah. But anyway, yeah. Skid Row Crypto, what's going on?
Yeah, so I wanted to comment on something because some of this conversation is interesting because it's about an article I'm working on. We're like kind of like in the season of the roadmap now. As the dust is settled, you know, people that are looking for the quick buck are kind of, you know, skittering away like roaches, and we've got the diehards and people that are committed to the space. And, you know, there's just a lot more clarity and the noise just being not as noisy. But that does mean that when you're looking at, you know, this collection that you're part of and all these communities, how many communities can you actually actively participate in? And we're all going to have to start to prioritize our, like, our time and our presence, which means that the collections that find ways to even, we're not just talking big parties and drops, we're talking really, really creative things to sustain a community over a long period of time. This is what's required right now. And the people and the entities and collections that are able to do this are going to see more value and probably more stored value in their NFTs. But the last thing before I shut up is, you know, there was a report March of this year that 50% of NFT holders have lost access to their NFTs. And I'm going to, in addition to all the scams and the phishing and all that, I think something that's not being talked about enough are these, I'd call them blockchain light entities that are not really decentralized. You're buying stuff with a credit card. It's going to some custodial wallet that you have to claim later. And a lot of people are just unwittingly buying NFTs or thinking they're buying NFTs. They're kind of like NFTs. They're NFT-esque. But then now they don't know where they are. You ask them 6 months later, where's your NFT? Can you swap it? Can you buy it? Is it can you sell it? Is it portable, et cetera? And there's just not enough, hey, so you're semi-onboarded. It's time to be fully onboarded and kind of learn about the space that you're in, how to grow and evolve, DeFi, different wallets, different chains. And so if this continues like this, we're going to see a lot of disgruntled consumers. And if this is such a small segment of the total population in crypto now and in NFTs, what happens when the people that we're indoctrinating start to have sort of a bad taste in their mouth over the purchases they did make in good faith?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what you're talking about at the end of the day, part of it, of the last part, is really a saying that I believe was coined by one of my, one of the authors of one of my favorite Bitcoin books, Isaiah Jackson, not your keys, not your cheese. And there does have to be an understanding of what you're doing when you let someone else custody an NFT or when you buy an NFT on a centralized platform. That's exactly what you're talking about. On the first thing that you said, the error of the roadmap, I think if we really break it down, what we're seeing, and this is what Nick was talking about a moment ago too, is the shift from viewing these NFTs as pure play collectibles, similar to a similar to the Fabergé egg, similar to a Jackson Pollock painting, a Charizard card from Pokemon from the 90s, a vintage Hell's Angels jacket, you know, all of these things that have, you know, Eric Clapton's guitar from like whatever year, all these things have like this aura about them. They have this lore, and that's what makes them fetch these insane prices. When you switch, and that's what CryptoPunks is emerging as right now. Like, I loved what Nick said, that Noah said from Christie's about how he's treating it like a dead artist's estate. That's how you fetch those insane valuations, because it's like, oh, I gotta have it. I need to have this, you know, incredible thing that's never going to come along again because there's this lore. But when you switch to startups, right, the switch from collectibles to startups, you sober up so quick. Who gives a shit about a startup? That's just a bunch of people trying to make something work. That's not going to fetch the same thing as Eric Clapton's guitar from the 1960s. So that's what comes to mind for me right away. I want to get to everyone. I want to definitely hear from Alejandro. I'm going to throw to Captain Kix for a second. Kix, you have something to add?
Yeah, just wanted to say I loved journalist's points. I tossed him a follow. Pio, I think what you said was absolutely incredible. I'll be real quick here. I just know NFT Nick was asking, you know, he was uncertain about his, you know, how he feels about his bags. Nick, this is how I feel about your bags.
Wow. Very, very sophisticated contribution from Captain Kix. That's the hard.
You got like a broken ass toilet. I just want to throw that out there. Like, what the fuck? What happened to your toilet? It sounds like I feel concerned more about your living conditions.
Sounds like you need to sell some of your bags, Captain Kix, and get a plumber up in there. Alejandro, you are the co-founder and president of NFT Now. I don't believe that we've met. I don't know if you've met Nick.
We met up last night.
Yeah, finally, you know, IRL. But Pio, long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, well, thank you.
I do have to go because I do drop in 2 minutes. I have a coaching call. But I think, you know, it's very interesting points you guys are thinking about from the perspective of these communities. And like what I'm really energized about, to be honest, is the consolidation that's going to happen in like Q4 of this year. Like, a lot of us in this industry, or a lot of people in our communities, have never gone through a bear market or winter before. Like, it's always like we have a lot of first time people who came in board who were like, yeah, this thing can only go up. These communities can only go up. And like, what I'm really, really concerned about is that this is the first time where we're having like a bear market in crypto and a bear market in the real world, right? Like before, in 2017, 2018, when the crypto winter came in, people could tap out of crypto, you know, and they can just go work for corporate, or they can go join like the Coinbases or the Consensus of the world where their checks could be kind of protected. But like, this whole over leveraged shit is going to create a lot more pain, a lot more pain overall. And I'm just really excited about what's going to happen with the consolidation in the marketplaces. And, you know, I am officially not a Doodle holder, but I'm very, very bullish on Doodles. Like, I see that potential for being a vehicle for mainstream adoption and starting to bring in outside dollars. You know, one of the things that we start seeing here with VC money and investors, like you guys mentioned, we're starting to see a lot of like companies generate revenue based on other people's investments, right? So it's like companies who were venture backed are doing business with other venture backed companies. So it's kind of just like my revenue is your investment and your investment is my revenue. It's kind of similarly to like the old age where it's like every investor invests in a startup to then just.
You just cut out.
We lost you, Alejandro. Damn, he was on a roll too. Damn.
Oh man. Oh, well,
it's hopium. Gone. I'm coping, and it's just straight hopium that he comes back right now.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll move on, and then maybe he comes back. He had to get on that coaching call. Yo, we're
Alejandro, you still there?
That inspired me. We're now introducing coaching calls with the NFT Alpha team. It's a bit, this bear market activity.
Oh, here, oh, here
I,
he is.
I got madly rugged, but I do have.
Oh, then he got rugged again.
Again. Well, come back anytime, Alejandro. Yep. Come back anytime, amigo. And we are now offering coaching calls.
Coaching calls.
$10,000 an hour.
Okay. Well, that's aggressive. Like, that's aggressive, Pio. Like, we could lower it a little bit. You
I'm
know,
an
we got
an O's guy.
We got to pay for rent and stuff like that, you know. So, introducing coaching calls.
Guys, you're already doing mastermind calls, except for it's not you guys. It's
yeah,
us.
It's smart people like you guys.
It's the rest of the crew doing it. So.
we bring other people on the show.
Hop in Discord. We got awesome masterminds. You know they're great because it's not Nick doing them. So literally,
Kix, Easy, Benjamin, Node have done just these badass masterminds. So yes,
I got a new business model. They pay us to do the masterminds, but then we stream those masterminds to NFT holders in the Discord. Boom! So you get exposure, and you also get to view that inside stuff that's going on in the Discord, and who knows, maybe one of the other speakers here that knows more than us hops on that call, and suddenly your $1,000 investment became worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's the type of value that we're generating on our newly introduced coaching calls. There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. I can't wait. And
in all legitimacy, I would not be surprised if that actually ended up happening at some point. We have had people ask for it.
It's on the table. So I'm going to throw to Wappy, then NFT lover boy. Wappy, what's on your mind, buddy?
I just wanted to say I won up Captain Kix. I gave a journalist a follow and notifications on. So, sorry.
Oh, shit. Kix. Here we go.
But no, I wanted to – Spencer brought up a point when we were talking about like Doodles and VC and Pixel Vault. And when Pixel Vault got their VC investment there was like a noticeable shift in kind of like the communities.
You were a mega bull on Pixel.
Yeah. And then it felt like it shifted from me being a part of like owning this thing that was going to be growing and have all this cool IP that they were going to be building. And it switched into kind of feeling like now I'm the consumer of their product that they're going to be selling stuff to. And so when you look at what they're doing with Comic 3 later this week, I think it's another large supply. I think it's another expensive digital comic. And I think, you know, there's a mechanic behind it that makes people think, okay, maybe it's worth minting, but, you know, it's kind of like a gamble or a lottery risk because you're basically minting Comic 3 so that you can maybe get some assets out of the Pixel Vault vault, which we think is kind of a lot of the assets that they had acquired from Beanie. So I guess my issue with Pixel Vault right now is, you know, G-Funk says stuff like, you know, come back and talk to me in 3 years. You know, so he's going to be building for 3 years. And, you know, we need to keep raising money because we have a team of 56 people and blah, 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 blah. I get it. But it's also like you're using us to finance and give you runway on your company. And we don't really see much coming back from it. And you just keep selling us assets. So Pixel Vault, I think right now their problem is they need a large amount of new holders and interest to come into it. Otherwise, it's kind of a lot of the same Pixel Vault holders shifting around assets to each other. And that can only go on for so long unless you guys just have people with endless pockets who are so bullish on Pixel Vault. So I don't feel that same sentiment towards Doodles, at least yet. But that was my problem with Pixel Vault. And I'm a little concerned as like what's going to happen with their mint later this week.
So I have a question real quick on this. Didn't they make an assload of money with the Planets drop, like so much money? And then didn't they raise a lot of money through venture capital too?
And then didn't they do nothing and fuck me over with my Planets? Wasn't that part of the step as well where they were just like, hey, thanks for the thousands of dollars you gave me. And us dropping these other NFTs isn't diluting you. Don't worry about that. That's not called dilution. They told me that that wasn't dilution. Those were the exact
words. With
the
Jupiter, right?
And got into a fight with me over the fact that's not dilution. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I feel you're just going to be accepting like an award someday, Nick, and it's just totally going to come out of the left field. You're just going to talk about this.
Fuck Pixel Vault like, for Jupiter.
In the middle. You just bring this up. Like, we'll be at a cocktail party.
It's just frustrating because legitimately it was like at this moment where there was, you know, when you make like a great trade and then suddenly the rules change, the terms change, and the people that like structured the game in a way that you anticipated it to play out suddenly are like, nah, that's not the way that it's working. They legitimately thought they were going to sell out of Jupiter, their highest supply, at one of the most expensive prices, and it made no sense whatsoever. So no one was buying it. And then, everyone that bought it got screwed.
For Nick, you can't ever think of a planet again without being triggered by Pixel Vault.
Yeah, it seems like a big trigger. But
so now
yeah.
I'm not even bullish on space travel. You know, like it's just a whole thing because of Pixel Vault. So thanks for Pixel Vault for ruining myself and my future children's dreams about space,
Spencer. Well,
I was going to say, at least you got Pluto still, because Pluto is not a planet, so it's hopefully not as triggering.
I do have a Pluto. I also have Uranus.
Is not a planet? That's the one.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a Uranus.
Nice. But in all seriousness, I believe, if I recall correctly, maybe my numbers, I'm misremembering, but I thought that the planets was a nine-figure haul. Is that...
It was significant. It was not like a small amount of money, you know, because like the Mars and Mercury, you know, some of those like closer to the sun planets that had smaller supplies, like the min cost was 1, 2, 3 ETH on some of those things. So like, you know, and ETH was back at like 3,000. So it was not an insignificant raise. Whoa. The other thing that I have an issue with Pixel Vault, I think it's cool that they have bought a sports team, but I think a lot of people in our space either are aware and just don't care about it or aren't aware. But if you go on like Instagram or some of these other things, or if you go into normie world, normies fucking hate NFTs. And I just feel like Wagme United is such a cringe name that I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be like an onboard for normies into Pixel Vault in the NFT space.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, I guess I'm going to have to figure out what's up with my Punks Comic 2, because if they're dropping Punks Comic 3, how is Punks Comic 2 going
to
go up?
It gets you a mint slot into Comic 3, which would then allow you to maybe win something from the Pixel Vault vault, which could be EV positive, or it could just be something that no one's going to want to buy from you.
Okay.
Aren't they giving away Beanie's assets?
Yeah, but they're also giving away like a lot of like low level like comic twos and threes and stuff, which I just don't think will have a ton of value. But they are giving away some of the core identities and some of the comic ones and some of the PVFDs and mutants and other stuff. So there's some good stuff in there, but it's like, am I going to go mint a comic three so that I have like a 1 in 14 chance at a core hero or a mutant hero? Because otherwise, I'm not too interested in too many other PV assets right now, especially if they're on a three-year runway. There's a lot of price movement that could happen in those assets to the downside over the next 3 years, especially if Pixel Vault doesn't really deliver like value to the existing assets.
Nick?
Man, I just thought it was funny when you were like, whoa, like, let's not talk about the name of the soccer team. Like, that's not, you were just like, all right, we've done enough dunking on this team. To be fair, the only thing that I was like, whoa, was when they were at VCon and announced the partnership with
the Dana White. I mean, that was, for me, I was like, oh shit, because it's like, well, G-Funk was just doing his speech, and yeah.
You know what's crazy though is at this point, literally nobody can announce anything that's actually going to meet expectations. That's the problem that we got into with some of the pricing of this. There was Bored Ape Yacht Club just did an entire concert, which ended with Eminem and Snoop Dogg releasing a song where a bored ape is in it. And everyone's just like, yeah, that was expected. Like, that's like that's like the general consensus at this point in time. And so there is nothing that you can deliver on any of these projects that people are going to say, yeah, that's worth it. Because the price is so ludicrous, relative speaking, on all these things at this moment in time, and so unless it's nearly impossible to deliver anything at this point. Pixel Vault, in particular, like, look, they're going to end up delivering stuff, and they did a great partnership with as people in the Discord like call me out for Adidas, which is the technically correct way of saying it, fools, and then. They ended up doing a great job with that. Who knows what they end up doing with MMA? But the problem is like that's to me like agency work. That's like stuff where you, although we got access to it because we owned Pixel Vault, so that gave us the right to get these different NFTs, and the Adidas NFTs have fared fairly well through the bear market, I guess. But I don't know. It just seems like you can't do anything that's gonna satisfy everybody at the moment. And as Wappy was saying, one of the hardest things at this point is what the transition is from the existing NFT audience, of which, let's call it like actively, like legitimately, you could lower the number from the number of people that have traded NFTs. Like active market participants is probably less than 100,000. And like super active is probably closer to somewhere around 50,000 who are like truly, truly active. There's a higher number. But like, if you're looking at like truly passionate NFT collectors, I feel like that's like the market size at the moment. And so the question is, how do you make that leap over to the masses? And for a group of people who were just like, oh, this is cringe, that's the thing where you got to, like, you have to figure out what that transition ends up looking like. And a lot of the things that are being done right now, let's say Doodles is the one that's doing it. Essentially, the only way that this ends up being reasonable is that these things are going to be worth not a lot of money. Like ultimately, outside of the pure collectibles, and I look at CryptoPunks as an example of this, that market segment is going to end up being, I don't think that that's going to expand to everybody. When Instagram is selling NFTs, are those customers going to be like, well, I want a CryptoPunk? I feel like instead the entire messaging behind that whole story is going to be fully diluted and ignored simply so our corporate overlords can sell digital goods, which inevitably will happen. But I don't know if the historical context is going to remain relevant to the 99% of people, because Pokemon card players aren't looking at tobacco baseball cards and saying, wow, I want one of those things, the Onis Wagner. So they're not looking at those things. So I don't know that that space is expanding indefinitely. And so all I'm saying, the short of that long rant, is that dilution is what's going to happen, and a value drop for the vast majority of all of these things.
Well said, Nick. Go ahead.
So, hey, I was just going to ask you guys then, you know, because earlier there was this talk about, like, you know, more product. Like these companies, because they're companies, do they really think during this time when you're trying to rationalize or, you know, in some way validate the investment you've already made, that they're going to keep selling you more NFTs during this time? Like, this is about community and not just saying the word. People are going to have to really, really dig in and figure out how to keep people engaged during this time. And it's not like free airdrops. Nobody even really wants those anymore. And on the community side, being in New York, there was one thing that I thought was really comical. I was hearing some comments from some of the ape people about Ape Fest. And I think one thing about our communities is we want to do a lot of, like, flossing and, you know, just it's a lot of showboating. So if you take a bunch of people that are all special and you put them in a special place and there's nobody to look into VIP and wish that they were there, it doesn't really fall the same way when everybody's a VIP. And so even the way that these communities interact, if you token gate too much, you're kind of losing the value and effectiveness of these holders being able to have something over somebody else. That's just something that I observed taking place at NFT NYC. And I'll shut up now.
You don't have to shut up, man.
I just wanted to say,
you are my friend.
The audience is going to leave in droves. Please.
You're special to me.
Hey, you're special to me.
You are my friend.
Only one like you.
Yay. Like
my friend.
Yeah, they're going to leave.
I like you.
Okay. Who doesn't like Mr. Rogers? P.O.'s like, yo, fuck Mr. Rogers. Put on Lil Wayne.
P.O. put like sandpaper in his coffee this morning. Like, it's Mr. Rogers, man. Life's okay.
I'm just, it's just because... It's because of the time. Never mind. Doesn't matter. I like Mr. Rogers too. I think it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Micah G, what's going on? Then we're going to throw to NFT Loverboy.
How's it going, y'all? I'm going to give my best low effort General Tornado impression here and say we're riding. I bought an NFT yesterday.
What'd you buy?
I picked up three Gossamer seeds because I was sitting there. I was bored. And I just decided that, I was going to bet on another ape land just because I felt like being a degenerate. And I'm a hopeless romantic for someone coming out with a video game. No one's done it. No one's successful yet. P.O. might be right that it never happens.
I didn't say that. But... you are putting words in my mouth 100%.
Okay,
I did not say that.
P.O. said everybody sucks. The game's over.
I said the opposite. I said that Other Deed's going to be the big winner.
Yo, and dude, how dare you talk shit about Pixel Vault like that, dude? We'll remember this.
Pixel Vault's definitely not coming out with a game. But Gossamer at 0.0 or 0.42 is what I picked it up at. And like, they have potential that it's Epic Games that is going to work with them on the game. And they have like a real movie coming out. So I don't know. I looked into it a little bit more. And like, if I was going to spend 3 Ethereum on an Other Deeds, like betting on another video game maker that potentially has more experience, even if smaller coffers, didn't seem like a bad bet. So I bought those. They're even, you know, sounds like we're in kind of a pessimistic mood overall on the market, but I'm trying. I'm out here riding. I'm swinging. I'm trying.
We need to switch our attitudes. Like today, I'm just looking at my bags being like, oh, look at those things. They suck. I hate you. And it's just not a good way to treat things, you know, as Marie Kondo, you know, would say, if it doesn't bring you joy,
get rid of it.
Floor that shit.
Marie Kondo is probably going to just ape into the NFT space and drop another book on how to organize your NFT collection.
How to floor the shit out of your NFTs by Marie Kondo.
She'd be like, just put it all in the hidden folder, guys. Just put every single one in there.
She's going to be in Nick's apartment. She's like, you know, she's like 5 feet tall, you know, the sweetest thing. She's just going to be in Nick's apartment with him on the laptop. And Nick's going to be like, no, but I like that one. She's going to be like, no, get rid of it. she rolls through with the translator. The translator is going to be like, no, you don't need this. I don't know. This bit is not going anywhere. NFT Loverboy, how's it going?
It's good. It's good. Thanks for having me up. So I just wanted to, you guys are talking about Wagme United. I just wanted to point out that Hunter RL's collection, the 555 collected.
Yep. Big collected. Rip on that.
Yeah, so they get whitelisted for Wagme United. So, you know, like, I know kind of Wappy was saying, like, NFTs are cringe kind of by the mainstream media, but just given the fact that, like, G-Money, Adidas, Artblox, you know, Pixel Vault, Gary Vee kind of are all involved in that, I feel like it's, like, one of the better bets to make on if something is going to make it. So it's like, if you just wanted to guarantee a whitelist spot, picking up a 555 collective isn't a bad move. And then Hunter's kind of been in the space for a while. I saw him at the Nifty Portal event too. So kind of just been following him closely.
Yeah, shout out to Hunter. I saw that collection because there's 555, right? NFT Loverboy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that creates a super thin floor as soon as you have buy pressure. So I looked, because I saw his tweet, and I was like, oh, shit. And I looked at the collection, and the 30 minutes after his tweet, it went from whatever it was at, like 0.15 or 0.2, to, I believe, over one ETH. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it's pulled back since then, or maybe it's gone up. But yeah, that's the thing, is like when you have – it reminded me of like the Adidas drop a little bit. I don't know, like, because you know how we had access to the Adidas drop for owning actually Planets, among other things. It kind of felt that way to me. And that's like you get a pump and a half on news events like that. It's a shame ETH's only like 1,100 bucks right now, but everybody that was holding that was probably pretty satisfied there. No, you just raised your hand. Was there something you wanted to add to this?
Yeah, just that's a fun and interesting collection to play around with. So I'd like to thank everyone for being my exit liquidity on one of those.
You sold one into the pump?
I have three, so I'm fine. But it's an interesting one because Hunter's great, but he kind of goes dark and then all of a sudden reappears, then he goes dark again. And so it like collection, like, it'll fluctuate between like 0.2 and 2 ETH almost. Like, it just goes, it goes kind of interesting. So it's an interesting one to keep an eye on, because every once in a while he'll come out and you'll get some great whitelist spots from it. So, you know, I imagine it'll definitely cool down soon enough. But just some added food for thought there.
Yeah, I mean, if by going dark you mean tall, dark, and handsome, I totally know what you're talking about. Over to Benjamin.
Yeah, I had a. All right, guys, taking the mute off.
I can set up on Hunter on this show. I don't know what's going on. No.
I wanted to bring up a question and see what people thought about it, because I know our community's been pretty high on Art of Seasons for a while, and everybody who held an Art of Seasons was airdropped this Renga black box that's eventually going to be revealed as like the Renga characters. And I was just curious, does anybody know much about this project, like the secondary Renga project? I haven't really heard a ton about it, but I do have these boxes now.
Anybody?
Literally nobody. I don't know what Renga?
Yeah, so The Art of Seasons by Dirty Robot. We've been talking about it a lot over the past couple months. And they airdropped these boxes to everybody who held one. So if you did have Art of Seasons, you should have these Renga boxes either in your hidden folder or your regular wallet, and they're going to be revealed at some point to be these the characters in the Renga project, R-E-N-G-A. If you go to the Dirty Robot Twitter page, you'll see that they link to Renga.
I just sold a mutant.
No. Okay. Whoa!
What'd you sell for?
$22,000 or something like that.
Pretty good.
I'm down to one mutant. I wanted to find some way to pay off my this CryptoPunk, and it just doesn't make sense. I'm overexposed at this point, and I realized, oh, I'm not up on my mutants. So might as well break even, pay no taxes, and now there may be one other item to leave my portfolio before the day is done. The fact that it sold that quickly though is concerning. It means I definitely undercut the price that I should have sold it at. But
you
should attack the floor. Always attack the floor.
Yeah, you're always going to feel that way if it happens.
You must attack the floor.
Mutant Ape Yacht Club is one of the most liquid collections in the NFT space. That's all you're seeing there at the end of the day. You either sell it right away or you fucking don't sell it because it just sits there, you know what I mean? Unless there's like a pump. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Hey, I appreciate the pat on the back. I appreciate that. I'm now going to transfer this ETH into Gemini. And
you mean convert. FTX?
I can't use FTX. So, but yes.
Nick, wink, what if wink. You just floored it before your mutant?
Yes, Kix, he floored his mutant. Thanks for joining the
Let's
show.
Let's go, dude. I was just confirming, PO. Sorry, buddy. My bad. Sorry, just confirming. Hey, Nick just timed the Pico bottom. Everybody long mutants. Let's go.
basically. We got Mac Man with his hand raised, Web3 community builder. You're enjoying the ride. You're also letting people know they should touch grass. And your ENS is the gossamer.eth. What's going on, Mac Man?
Yo, what's up, guys? I know you guys are wrapping up here quick, so I wanted to throw out some facts just real fast on Gossamer. 32 Academy Awards, 17 SAG Awards, 34 BAFTA Awards, 21 Golden Globe Awards, $2.8 million sitting in their treasury account, USDC. So they've been smart about it, have not touched that money in marketing. They've been very in touch with the space, free mint, and have done everything extremely well. I had a minor thought. I heard you guys talking about it the other day that you were bearish to a point because of the style of gameplay they were going after. And my thought on that was, we are also out of the other side of our mouth saying that we need new money to come into the space. And everything from my marketing experience is the way to get new money is you target the next generation. And from everything I've researched found is the next generation is
madly obsessed and just in love with these style of gameplay. So I think if they're chasing after a Fortnite style of gameplay and this fairy versus nightmares type gameplay, and Fortnite is not only helping them, but a using Unreal 5, slight partnership there, and they're advertising this in all the film festivals that they're going to, with a big release last week in Europe right after the the contract hit the market, which was crazy. It allowed a lot of people who were just contract watching, because there was not a tweet or anything about it, start minting it. So it's got a lot of odd whales, but slowly they're starting to kind of flood the market and put their name out there. And that tweet they dropped today was that the video graphics on it are just out of this world to me when it comes to NFT stuff. And they also, I've been noticing there's a few wallets, and I don't know who owns these. They're brand new wallets as of this month, and about 15 to 20 minutes before every big announcement they've made, they drop the floor with a brick of about 5 down, anywhere from like 0.05 to 0.1 down. And then as soon as those sell, an announcement goes. I have no idea if this is correlated or what, but it's been consistent with the last 4 or 5 big announcements. So I've been watching that, bought the dip today at 0.33, and then immediately 15 minutes later, I'm looking at 0.47. Any big announcements, like the other day, shout out to 0.75. I called this to a few different Discords at 0.05 to 0.07. I know I shouted out to Theo, and then I know I was talking with Kix the other day. But man, I don't know. I haven't been this bullish, especially in this market right now, for a project in a long time.
You do appear bullish. You have the gosamer.eth as your at name, so it's pretty hard to understand why you'd be bearish.
Yeah, exactly. But I picked that up just because I thought it's a play, because if it goes anywhere, then I've got it listed for a little bit ETH. So I'll just sell that and then hopefully sweep some more gosamer at that time.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. I know Kix is in on the trade. All those accolades from the entertainment industry are great. However, you know, we haven't seen an example of that convert over to positive price action in the NFT space. Even Duskbreakers, which I believe maybe didn't have as robust of a resume, but still some serious entertainment industry or gaming industry.
They probably only had like 25 Oscars, not 37, you know, and that's just like...
Yeah, just a few shy.
Do you remember how good Pixelmon looked until the reveal?
Yeah, everyone was so excited. Pixelmon released and everybody saw what it was, that's when everybody started the research. And then they went back and were like, oh, all this stuff was bought off of other websites. And like the original art that they were previewing wasn't even their art. Like people found it on Google. So yes. Like if people would have researched beforehand, we would have been all set on Pixelmon way earlier. But nobody
Yeah, but now from now, before I buy stuff, I do at least 5 minutes of research. That's my new rule going ahead. And I should avoid more rugs in the next bull run. But Mac, you sold me on Gossamer Seeds. I've been eyeing it for a while. Made a little bet there. I don't know if I want to play a video game as a fairy, but I'm still willing to support a project trying to do some cool things with a great team. So yeah, I'm with you, man. I put a few K into it. Let's ride, as Tornado would say.
I don't know, man. CaptainFairy.eth sounds pretty good.
CaptainFairy.eth, look out for it. Spencer, you unmuted for a moment. Was there something you wanted to add?
I was gonna say, I remember the Pixelmon sentiment on Twitter being very negative ahead of the mint, right? Like everyone ahead of the mint was like, "This is a rug, don't mint it," on Twitter, and then somehow it still minted out.
Sounds like you're following the right accounts, because Captain Kix, he missed those. Wappy has his hand raised. What's going on?
I'll keep it quick because I know we're basically at time. But I guess bringing it back to today news, On-Chain Monkey is minting Karma Monkey. It's in like whitelist mint right now. So there's 4K already minted. I was actually bearish on this mint because it's a 0.5 mint. But looking at it, they've already minted 4,000 of these items. I think it's a 10,000 total. So it's a 0.5 mint, and it's already got secondary sales. I know I'm not a huge on-chain monkey like Maxi like some people are, but just based on what I'm seeing on like the sales activity, I have a feeling that the on-chain monkey community might be willing to defend the 0.5 floor. So before I looked at the OpenSea like activity and volume and everything, I was thinking I was going to fade this, but now I'm switching this into the bucket of I'm going to watch it and see, because if that community is actually going to enforce the mint floor, I think that's bullish, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. To close out the show, we brought Gentle Tornado on stage. Haven't heard from Tornado in a few days. You know, valued member of the Nifty Portal community, Nifty Portal whale as well. What's going on, Tornado? Tornado.
Yo, hey, it's Gentle Tornado. You know what's going on here, guys. You know, you got PO, you got NFT Nick, you
this
got
is a
Signal,
horrible review.
You got Benjamin, you got Captain Kicks, you got Fuck Easy, you got Wappy, you got Mikey G, you got Spencer, and you got No.
Yo, let's fucking ride! I literally couldn't find my phone. I was fucking loving it, though. The fucking love from the community fucking gassing me up. Kicks, fucking Micah G, let's ride. Man, I'm out here spreading fucking positivity, spreading love, being a fucking Nifty Portal whale. I've been telling you guys to buy the portal. Okay, I'm going to keep fucking telling you. This is the fucking time. Be in here. We're grinding every day. Not me. P.O. Nick. Fucking Kicks. Benjamin. Easy. Kicks. Node. Micah G. Spencer. I mean, fuck! Let's go! We're out here doing the Lord's work. So let's keep going.
That's what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. This is the song that Eminem and Snoop Dogg should have dropped at the Super Bowl if they wanted it to hit hard. Instead, they dropped it the other day, and it didn't do anything. We will catch you guys tomorrow. This show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30. Let's go.